Chapter 20, Our Attitude Toward Doctrinal Controversy.
The Daily of Daniel 8. I have words to speak to my brethren east and west, north and south. I request that my writing shall not be used as the leading arguments to settle questions over which there is now so much controversy. I entreat of elders H, I, and J, and others of our leading brethren, that they make no reference to my writings to sustain their views of the daily. It has been presented to me that this is not a subject of vital importance. I am instructed that our brethren are making a mistake in magnifying the importance of the difference in the views that are held. I cannot consent that any of my writings shall be taken as settling this matter. The true meaning of the daily is not to be made a test question. I now ask that my ministering brethren shall not make use of my writings in their arguments regarding this question, the daily. For I have had no instruction on the point under discussion, and I see no need for the controversy. Regarding this matter under present conditions, silence is eloquence. The enemy of our work is pleased when a subject of minor importance can be used to divert the minds of our brethren from the great questions that should be the burden of our message. As this is not a test question, I entreat of my brethren that they shall not allow the enemy to triumph by having it treated as such. The true testing questions. The work that the Lord has given us at this time is to present to the people the true light in regard to the testing questions of obedience and salvation, the commandments of God, and the testimony of Jesus Christ. In some of our important books that have been in print for years and which have brought many to a knowledge of the truth, there may be found matters of minor importance that call for careful study and correction. Let such matters be considered by those regularly appointed to have the oversight of our publications. Let not these brethren, nor our canvassers, nor our ministers magnify these matters in such a way as to lessen the influence of these good soul-saving books. Should we take up the work of discrediting our literature, we would place weapons in the hands of those who have departed from the faith and confuse the minds of those who have newly embraced the message. The less that is done unnecessarily to change our publications, the better it will be. In the night seasons, I seem to be repeating to my brethren in responsible positions words from the first epistle of John. Chapter 1 is quoted. A daily conversion. Our brethren should understand that self needs to be humbled and brought under the control of the Holy Spirit. The Lord calls upon those of us who have had great light to be converted daily. This is the message I have to bear to our editors and to the presidents of all our conferences. We must walk in the light while we have the light, lest darkness come upon us. All who are led by the Holy Spirit of God will have a message for this last time. With mind and heart, they will be carrying a burden for souls, and they will bear the heavenly message of Christ to those with whom they associate. Those who in speech act as the Gentiles act cannot be introduced into the heavenly courts. My brethren, receive the light, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Satan is busily working with all who will give him encouragement. Those who have the light but refuse to walk in it will become confused until darkness pervades their souls and shapes their whole course of action. But the spirit of wisdom and goodness of God as revealed in His Word will become brighter and brighter as they follow on in the path of true obedience. All the righteous demands of God will be met through sanctification of the Holy Spirit. There are great privileges and blessings for all who will humble themselves and fully consecrate their hearts to God. Great light will be given to them. When men are willing to be transformed, then they will be exercised unto godliness. And of his fullness have all we received, and grace for grace. John 1:16. My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. 2 Corinthians 12:9. Says the Savior, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you alway, even unto the end of the world. Matthew 28:18-20. Shall this wealth of grace and power for service continue among us to be unappreciated and turned from without relish or appetite? The instruction I am bidden to give to our people now is the same as I gave while in Washington. The Lord calls for individual effort. One cannot do the work of another. Great light has been shining, but it has not been fully comprehended and received. If our brethren will now consecrate themselves unreservedly to God, he will accept them. He will give them a transformation of mind, that they may be savors of life unto life. Wake up, brethren and sisters, that you may attain to your high calling through Christ Jesus our Lord. Manuscript 11:19-10. Not a test question. To my brethren in the ministry. Dear fellow workers, I have words to speak to all who have been active in urging their views in regard to the meaning of the daily of Daniel 8. This is not to be made a test question, and the agitation that has resulted from its being treated as such has been very unfortunate. Confusion has resulted, and the minds of some of our brethren have been diverted from the thoughtful consideration that should have been given to the work that the Lord has directed should be done at this time in our cities. This has been pleasing to the great enemy of our work. The light given me is that nothing should be done to increase the agitation upon this question. Let it not be brought into our discourses and dwelt upon as a matter of great importance. We have a great work before us, and we have not an hour to lose from the essential work to be done. Let us confine our public efforts to the presentation of the important lines of truth on which we are united and on which we have clear light. I would bring to your attention the last prayer of Christ as recorded in John 17. There are many subjects upon which we can speak, sacred, testing truths, beautiful in their simplicity. On these you may dwell with intense earnestness, but let not the daily or any other subject that will arouse controversy among brethren be brought in at this time, for this will delay and hinder the work that the Lord would have the minds of our brethren centered upon just now. Let us not agitate questions that will reveal a marked difference of opinion, but rather let us bring from the Word the sacred truths regarding the binding claims of the law of God. Our ministers should seek to make the most favorable presentation of truth. So far as possible, let all speak the same things. Let the discourses be simple, and treating upon vital subjects that can be easily understood. When all our ministers see the necessity of humbling themselves, then the Lord can work with them. We need now to be reconverted, that angels of God may cooperate with us, making a sacred impression upon the minds of those for whom we labor. Draw in even cords. We must blend together in the bonds of Christ-like unity. Then our labors will not be in vain. Draw in even cords, and let no contentions be brought in. Reveal the unifying power of truth, and this will make a powerful impression on human minds. In unity, there is strength. This is not a time to make prominent, unimportant points of difference. If some who have not had a strong living connection with the Master reveal to the world their weakness of Christian experience, the enemies of the truth who are watching us closely will make the most of it, and our work will be hindered. Let all cultivate meekness and learn lessons from him who is meek and lowly in heart. The subject of the daily should not call forth such movements as have been made. As a result of the way this subject has been handled by men on both sides of the question, controversy has arisen and confusion has resulted. While the present condition of difference of opinion regarding this subject exists, let it not be made prominent. Let all contention cease. The duty of God's servants at this time is to preach the word in the cities. Christ came from the heavenly courts to this earth in order to save souls, and we, as almoners of his grace, need to impart to the inhabitants of the great cities a knowledge of his saving truth. Letter 62, 1910.